What's going on? You are listening to Christian Anarchy, and my name is unimportant. I mean, really, who cares what my name is? These ideas are far more important than what my name is. I don't know why you're so focused on that. Get over it. We begin with concluding remarks. Break up the pieces and examine the parts. Your words always cut when they're cliche. But here's my knife because I came for the buffet. Welcome to the show, y'all. Hope you are doing well. If you want to contact me, you can email me at jeremiahjm@gmail.com. And if you happen to be interested in listening to past episodes or looking at sources or any other little tidbits of information, you can go to www.christianarchy.net, where you will find a mediocre website that successfully hosts an RSS feed and puts a podcast on iTunes every week. So this week I was planning on talking about something different than what I am actually going to be talking about today. It's an idea I've had on the back burner, and I'm not sure if it's even worth doing, but I think I'll do it anyway. I just haven't thought through it enough to have the presentation of it be clear. I'm not sure how to present it to you guys in even a decent fashion. So I'm not going to talk about it today, and it's certainly possible that it's not an idea worth presenting, and that's why I haven't thought of a decent way to present it yet. I'll probably end up pushing through and putting out a podcast on it anyway and let you guys decide if it was worth your time to listen to or not. Maybe you can do dishes or something while you're listening, so it's not a waste. Anyway, because I abandoned that idea this week, I looked into the pile of topics I wrote down a while ago to talk about at some point, and found one frequent objection to anarchy, or at least a fear people have when you talk about anarchy. Might not be an objection, but it's at least a question. People are often worried about the lack of safety regulations without a government. By regulations, I mean something separate from laws about property and contract laws. They have concerns about neighborhood security and protections from people like robbers and murderers, to be sure, but there's a different sort of concern people have outside of that even for regulations which prevent businesses from harming people. They can probably best be summed up by saying people are concerned with consumer protection without the state. People are concerned that without a government, then we won't have the Food and Drug Administration or the Federal Aviation Administration, or Department of Education, or Federal Trade Commission, or Federal Communications Commission, or the Consumer Product Safety Commission. There I go, listing things again. I hope you find the naming of government regulatory agencies as entertaining as I do. The concern is, without these organizations, wouldn't every person be in danger from businesses? Wouldn't workplaces be unsafe and unhealthy without OSHA? Wouldn't food be poisoned and drugs be dangerous without the FDA? Wouldn't there be nudity on every channel without the FCC? Without federal standards, wouldn't most education be terrible? Wouldn't most planes crash without the FAA? I think you get the point. Without these regulatory agencies, what's to prevent companies from taking advantage of consumers? I actually think this objection is a very simple one to answer, but others don't, at least not many people. Certainly people who bring it up don't see that there are many immediate answers to the question. So I guess it's worth dealing with. I've even seen people who claim to be libertarian have a difficult time answering these questions. I recall a while ago I was listening to some podcast, I can't remember what it was. It was a pagan podcast that had nothing to do with Jesus, so it's not worth mentioning by name anyway. But a guy named Brian Callen, who was a comedian, was talking on the podcast, and he's someone that I've heard at different times say that all government is force and all government is violence. So he's had some experience with the ideas of libertarianism or anarchism, at least. I'm not sure who in his life is influencing him or where he heard that stuff from, or maybe it's just his own analysis of government separate from a third party, but he seems like someone that was directly influenced from someone else. So he said things which imply the inherently violently aggressive nature of government. But also, I heard him talk in a conversation where he brought up that all government was force, and someone else asked him something like, "Don't you want to fly on safe airplanes?" And if I remember correctly, he conceded that point and seemed to admit that that was something he just couldn't argue with. He wanted to fly on safe airplanes, and therefore, of course, you needed the government. After all, without the FAA, wouldn't pilots and passengers be regularly getting on very dangerous planes which could crash at any moment? And what possible reason could airlines have for wasting resources keeping their planes safe without the government telling them they have to? For someone like me who probably thinks a little too much about this stuff, hearing someone who was in one moment at one time advocating for freedom from force, then being completely stumped when presented with such a simple objection is frustrating. When I'm alone, I sometimes yell out answers while listening to podcasts. And I sometimes yell when I hear people advocating for explicit violence against other people. It's not helpful because they can't hear me, but it's cathartic. Sometimes scares the cats, though. One accusation people often make when people like me talk about regulations without government is they'll say something like, "It's absurd that you expect the free market to limit itself." I'd like to address this right away because it is surprisingly common. On the surface, this criticism makes sense. It doesn't sound all that different than criticisms I've levied against the state, saying that if you give people the power of the government, then you shouldn't expect them to limit themselves. If I don't expect governments to regulate themselves, then isn't it hypocritical to say the free market will regulate itself? In this way, I understand the protestation. I believe the underlying misunderstanding of this line of thinking is imagining that the free market is some sort of singular organization, just like the government. If it were like this, then it would be absurd to say that it would limit itself. But this image of the free market being some individual organization is inaccurate. Free market is simply a term of convenience to describe economic interactions that are free from violence. It's something that can regulate itself because it's not a single organization. It's many individuals and companies who are cooperating and competing with each other with all sorts of similar and contrasting desires, who work together in a complex web of human desires and interactions toward a single goal, to better the life of every individual, at least insofar as each individual defines what a better life is for him or herself. It is not that one actor in the market will regulate themselves, but that these multitudes of actors in a free market will regulate one another. How, you may ask? Well, have you ever seen or read Harry Potter? Then you have your answer. The free market will regulate itself using magic. This is yet another thing people actually say when talking to them about the market self-regulating, and they say it as a way of demeaning the position. They say we think market regulations will happen by magic. I think it's said this way to try to help further the narrative that anarchists are only anarchists because they are naive, as opposed to the truth that most anarchists are anarchists because they are ethical. There's nothing magical about the expectation that market forces will regulate market businesses. There are multiple levels of regulation which help ensure the safety and quality of products and services of all kinds. At the first level of regulation for consumer protection is the businesses who provide the products and services themselves. I understand there are some people who imagine businesses could never possibly regulate themselves to provide safe and high-quality products and services to their customers, but this simply isn't true. Sometimes people imagine businesses to be faceless and emotionless organizations, only motivated by profit, which do not care about who they hurt in the process. This is a false image. Businesses are run by people. Most people are very averse to the idea of hurting another person with their products and services. They are self-motivated by their own conscience to avoid endangering their customers. Most people are not sociopaths who wouldn't care if they hurt someone either directly or indirectly. They don't want to feel the guilt. I don't know how many business owners y'all have met, but nearly everyone I have met always seems very focused on making their product or service the best they can because they want their customer to be pleased. They're actually really proud of what they make or what they do, and they want everyone else to like it too, especially the customers they are deliberately trying to make happy with their product. Most businesses are run by people who are doing a lot of quality control without anyone telling them they have to. Of course, relying solely on business owners to ensure the quality and safety of their products and services will be inadequate to protect against both the minority who doesn't really care about whether they hurt someone or how good their product is, and against the people who simply aren't very good at what they do and without ill intention provide crappy and dangerous products to others. For these cases, we need something from the outside to regulate these people. The second level of regulation in the market, which requires no government, is competition. Actual and potential competition from other companies who provide similar products and services protects consumers. This is a regulatory mechanism inherent in the market. It's pretty obvious to anyone who understands anything at all about business competition. Companies need to please their customers to survive. A lot of different things will please customers, but regardless of product, two things customers really want are safety and quality. If one roofing company regularly puts leaky roofs on homes, then customers are going to flock to their competitors who regularly put perfectly functional roofs on homes. The company who builds leaky roofs will either have to improve their product, or they will go out of business quickly because they will have no more customers. Any company concerned about long-term success has to have a safe product and a product of a quality that pleases the consumer, or they will be bankrupt very quickly. Poor products and dangerous products are completely unsustainable in the free market and do damage to the very company making them. Competition regulates safety and quality. A third level of regulations come in the form of lawsuits brought about by customers who have been hurt by a product or who did not receive the product or service promised them by a vendor. If a vendor promises, explicitly or implicitly, that a product will do A or B and or is suitable to be used in circumstances C and D, and it turns out they are lying about these claims, they will be subjected to prosecution by the customer, and in many cases will have to reimburse the customer. Selling someone a product or service under false pretenses is a violation of the non-aggression principle. This would be an act of fraud. The vendor has deceived someone and through deception forced the customer into a position they would not have otherwise chosen to be in. The customer bought the product with the understanding that the product would do what the company claimed it would do, and its normal use would not endanger the user. In any society based on non-aggression, fraud like this is an offense which easily justifies prosecution. Those who committed fraud would have to pay to reimburse the customer for both the product they purchased and the damages those products caused. This costs the company money, and if they are regularly selling dangerous or faulty products like that, then they will go out of business even more quickly than market competition alone can eliminate them. Lawsuits are yet another exterior regulation which motivate businesses to look out for their own self-interest by making safe products of a high quality. With these three levels of regulations in mind, let's apply these concepts to airlines, the area where it is impossible to be reasonably assured your plane won't crash without government oversight and regulations. We have our first level of regulation, the consciences of the people who run the airline. How many people do you know who would be personally okay with sending hundreds of people up in an airplane when they thought there was a decent chance it might crash? I don't know very many people like that. Most people's conscience couldn't handle the guilt such an act would bring them. With the airline, it wouldn't only be the airline owner whose conscience had to be overcome, but the plane mechanic, anyone expecting the plane, or any pilot. Anyone who was aware the plane was potentially dangerous would also have to overcome their conscience in order to allow people to fly on it. That's a lot of consciences to get through. There is some reason to think that the vast majority of airlines would be self-motivated even without any exterior force to provide a safe flight to passengers. But we have no need to rely on the good intentions of airlines. People are not going to fly on a dangerous airline when there are other airlines who are known to be safer. Competition will heavily regulate the industry and prevent any airline with regularly dangerous flights from succeeding in the market. They will either have to increase the safety of their flights, or they will go out of business. Obviously, consumer desires for transportation by plane include a very strong desire to have that flight be safe. And in this case, it's not just customers who would be very concerned with the safety of airplanes, but the airline employees as well. They would be even more concerned than the customers, as they would be on the flights more regularly. How likely do you think pilots and flight attendants are to fly daily on planes that are known to be dangerous? It's not very likely. The more customer awareness there is in this market or any market, the better, because the quicker the regulating force of the market will occur. In this area, information leads to positive change in the market. This fact is really nice in the present environment when we have things like the internet, and if you're not sure what that is, just Google it, where we can easily communicate with one another about what products suck and what products work and what products are dangerous and what products are not. Even just a website like Yelp alone and the reviews from customers would provide a tremendous amount of information to people who were trying to decide what airline to fly. Which means that airlines that are measurably more dangerous than other airlines, it's likely they'll go out of business very quickly. I'm imagining if you scroll through and there are a number of Yelp reviews that say something like, good food, quick service, but plane crashed, 1.5 stars, it's probably not an airline most people are going to take. Still, there's no need to rely on competition alone. If an airline promises a flight to its customers from Minneapolis to Dallas, and the plane crashes and everyone survives, then the airline could be taken to court to reimburse the customers for the services they did not receive, any extra costs associated with the inconvenience, as well as pain and suffering, and endangerment. If the plane crashes and everyone dies, especially if it is discovered to be due to gross negligence and faulty equipment rather than due to being shot down or due to some storm that was unforeseeable, if it's due to their own negligence, then the fraud of the airline has resulted in the death of many people. And the people who died all have friends and family, many of whom would sue the company. These suits would hurt the airline financially directly and indirectly due to more customers choosing not to use them because they know people or they know of people who were killed using that airline. Not only would these lawsuits help cause the airline to go out of business faster, but even just their potentiality would keep the airline in check. If an airline doesn't want to pay the potential future costs of lawsuits from deaths, injuries, and inconveniences that the airline caused, then they will invest some money and time in the present to ensure the safety of their flights now in order to deter the large financial cost which would destroy their business in the future. Still, what if we don't think that the regulations of competition and lawsuits are good enough? It is true that these regulating forces do often take a period of time to work. What if we don't want to wait long enough to know if they are safe? The competition of the market and the lawsuits will sort it out eventually, but not instantaneously. What about in the meantime? Should I climb aboard a plane, which may be run by an owner who is looking to make a quick fortune by having the cheapest planes possible, and then plans to run off to Cabo before any lawsuits can stop them or any competition can run them out of business? What if I want more assurance more quickly than these regulations could provide? What if I don't want to wait for a plane to crash to know that flights are reasonably safe? There is a fourth level of free market regulations, which are widespread now and would be far more widespread in a free market absent of government regulatory agencies. These are third-party certifications. There are many things, airplane transportation being one of them, where many customers are not going to want to just trust the company providing the product, that their product is safe, even if they have a strong understanding of how the free market regulates things. The idea of a plane crash is very scary because it feels like it means certain death, and it's not something people want to risk at all. They'll just drive instead. Without the government regulating air travel to make sure it's safe, I'm very confident there will be multiple third-party certification companies which arise in the government's absence. These will be companies who provide something like a stamp of approval to airlines. They will give safety ratings to the various airplanes and airlines in the industry and provide that information to consumers. If consumers want to make sure they are flying a safe airline, then they can simply look for the certification label of the third-party certification company. If an airline has it, customers can be confident the airline they choose, at least reasonably confident, keeps their planes well-maintained and doesn't fly when the weather is dangerous and makes sure pilots are quality and in a good condition to fly. Airlines want to prove to customers they are safe to convince them to choose to fly with them, and so would pay for these third parties in order to go through the certification process. These certification companies would also be subjected to market regulations. If they were inaccurate when saying something was safe, then customers would no longer trust their label, and then the company would be useless and would go out of business. More trustworthy stamps of approval would survive in the market, and those that were untrustworthy would no longer be present. These companies would be motivated by the market forces to ensure when they say that something is safe to use, including an airline, that it is actually safe to use. In order to remain trustworthy to customers, they would have to be discerning and judicious with the use of their label. One of the reasons that I suspect these types of organizations will be present in a free market is because hundreds of them exist now, even with a government. Right now, electronics are very often certified by a third-party organization outside of the government. Even with the government regulating the safety and quality of electronics products, there exists a massive certification company which has been around for well over a century. It's called Underwriters Laboratories, or UL. It tests products and the way products are made on all sorts of levels, including safety, and then puts its stamp of approval on them or doesn't. It has certified over 22 billion products completely independently from government interaction. If there is such a massive market for third-party assurance of the safety of products people use every day without worry, then certainly there will be a market for something as seemingly dangerous as moving hundreds of miles an hour, many miles in the air. If most people knew there was such a thing as certification for airline safety, and then found out an airline failed certification or refused to go through the process with any of the certification companies, there's a good chance no one would use that airline. All airlines would be highly motivated to demonstrate their safety to customers ahead of time through a stamp of approval from a safety organization. The fourth level of regulations which would keep airlines in check and ensure safety for customers is third-party certification. I think for most people, the number one concern they have as it pertains to government regulatory agencies, is the FDA. They regulate the everyday things we need most, namely food and medications. As we need these products so often just to survive, we really want them to be safe. It's incredibly frightening to imagine ingesting dangerous food and drugs, which could easily kill us if there were something wrong with them. So when it comes to getting rid of the FDA, people are very afraid. But once we understand how third parties can hold food services and drug producers accountable, it's not hard to imagine the four levels of regulation I mentioned earlier all playing a significant role in keeping food and drugs safe, even if the FDA were abolished. But there's another important thing to mention as long as we're talking about the Food and Drug Administration. Most people who have looked into it estimate that the FDA regulations have succeeded in killing more people than they have saved people. The primary way that these regulations have killed people is through their lengthy and often not that good approval process for drugs. Many times, their long approval process has prevented life-saving drugs from getting to market quickly. This means that many times, thousands of people have died over the course of years while waiting for the drugs which were available, but which the FDA prevented them from receiving until they were approved. In addition to this, many people see the FDA stamp of approval and think, oh, this must be safe. However, the FDA has gone through the process of approving drugs many times, and then later on, it turned out those drugs weren't safe at all, and they had to recall them after people were hurt by them. So people have taken drugs feeling secure about it because it was approved by the Food and Drug Administration, but ended up being injured or killed because of their use of those approved drugs, which never should have been approved in the first place. So despite spending billions of dollars of taxpayer money to save lives, it isn't even a wash when it comes to saving lives versus causing deaths. The FDA has caused more deaths than lives they've saved. The taxpayers spent billions of dollars to protect people, and those billions ended up hurting people instead. It would not make any sense for us to expect a government organization to do a very good job of whatever its task happens to be, including regulating industry. They aren't self-motivated to please customers by ensuring product safety. That's not what keeps them in existence, like it does and would other free market certification organizations. These political organizations and the people within them are motivated by politics. They are motivated to please the people who make the budgets, who determine if they are a necessary organization, and the lobbyists who back these people. Their existence does not depend on whether they ensure safety well. Their existence depends on whether it is politically beneficial to keep them around or not. The incentive structure is always screwed up when the state is involved. When it comes to medications and making sure they're safe, there are already organizations that exist which have a similar function as the FDA. They just do it better. They predict with very high levels of accuracy whether a drug will be approved by the FDA even before it's approved, and they predict whether or not a drug will be recalled well before it's ever recalled. This means they provide more accurate and more helpful information, which will help save lives without having to spend billions of dollars in taxpayer money in order to do it. Many health organizations provide information for free, and many organizations which are concerned with drug safety and intervention safety and research-based information about what things are better to use for what situation and what sorts of drugs will lead to the best outcomes in different situations. Many organizations that provide this information right now are funded by doctors and hospitals for a cost because they provide better recommendations for drugs and better safety standards and practices than are recommended by the government. Even outside of the healthcare industry, without government force, many organizations exist right now that are concerned about the safety of their customers. Walmart, who's not exactly known as a paragon of virtue among retail stores, yet Walmart does things like provides significantly stronger food inspection practices and has significantly stricter quality controls for its food than the FDA requires. And Walmart chooses to do things like only sell electronics that are UL listed to make sure that they're safe for their customers. And they do these things by their own choice without anyone using force upon them. I would not argue that they are doing these things, regulating food stronger than the FDA and holding their electronics to higher standards than the state requires. I wouldn't say they're doing these things because they're moral, although maybe, but they are doing it to benefit themselves because they are better off when their customers are more safe. The idea that the government is required to protect consumers is simply false and kind of ridiculous when you break it down. I do recognize that there are many legitimate fears in the present world about large corporations taking advantage of people in unethical and destructive ways, and people should be afraid of that, but they shouldn't blame the free market for that. The real problems with businesses taking advantage of their customers comes when these businesses are colluding with the government. The biggest issues with giant corporations ruining things do not come when they exist in a free market with market regulations and competition, but when they use the violent force of the state to gain advantages and privileges in the marketplace. In the vast majority of seriously negative things we hear about that are done by corporations today, it is very easy to see some sort of government collusion. It may be regulatory protection or regulatory capture. It may be government looking the other way due to lobbyists. Maybe government contracts or subsidies or loans or their enforcement of intellectual property are one of the many ways that some of the richest people and the richest businesses use the state to their advantage. The main reasons we should be afraid and concerned with big corporations taking over is because they, like most people in the world, seek to wield government power for their own benefit. When one wields evil to accomplish something, evil is the result. All right, I hope this made some sense to you. I promise to have some scripture stuff next week. I've done a lot less of it than I thought I would over the course of this podcast, but in my everyday conversations, I get more questions and objections from people which have nothing to do with scripture. It appears that the majority of Christians and non-Christians alike are concerned about the same things. They're concerned about the cotton-picking questions, the questions that are the equivalent of, without slaves, who will pick the cotton? They are mostly concerned with, but without government, who will do, fill in the blank. So I spend a surprising amount of time dealing with these questions and objections, even though I find them the least interesting. I hope that you found this somewhat interesting, and maybe you found it helpful in talking to other people about getting rid of the state or in your own thought process when it comes to considering life without the government Leviathan, there I used a biblical word, ruling over us. Have a good week, and I hope you can survive another 7 days without hearing my voice. Good luck. Peace. To